I'm not telling you that you won't cry, have some feeling or be moved by God, but I'm talking about when things ain't going your way, you just get mad, just want to cry all the time. And you know what? If you think you're going to control people, you're going to keep crying. Let me tell you something. If God ain't controlling them, you think you're going to control them? If they're ridiculous and God look at them and say, well, I'm just going to give them some more grace. The best thing you can do is give them grace too. Because you're going to frustrate yourself and you're going to end up in a place mentally and physically that you don't want to be. Don't be moved. Paul said these words. He said, when I was a child, I'd done what? I done childish things. I thought and talked and acted as a child. He said, but when I became a man, I put childish things away. And we don't want to grow up and become men. We don't want to grow up and become women. We don't want to grow up and become spiritual. We'd rather stay in the flesh because it's easier. And then we make an excuse and say, don't judge me. I shouldn't have to. Let me be truth. Can I be honest? I shouldn't have to judge you. You should judge yourself. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 11, if you read down, start at verse 28. He said, if you judge yourself, you won't be judged. Y'all help me say something. He says, we need to learn how not to be moved by what people say, what people think. He said, look at this, what he said. Henceforth be no more children tossed. They treat you like a football, a basketball. They know what's going to move you. They know how to get you in a frenzy. So they partner up with the devil or whoever they got to partner up with. And they say, let's toy with them. In other words, you're just a toy. You're just a puppet. You know what they say about puppets, right? If they can't get you on a string, they run their hand. Okay. How else do you know? Y'all get that after a while. Some of y'all. Don't be a puppet.
We know your hearts have burned within by the message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries of Natchitoches, Louisiana. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. Our church is located 1401 Welch Street, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968, Tempe, Louisiana, 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968, Tempe, Louisiana, 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. We would love to see you and hear from you. Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries radio broadcast can be heard every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessings. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries, thank you for your support.
This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1 KAYT, praising the Lord.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel, this is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's word for your life today.
God bless you. If you turn your Bibles to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 7. Mark chapter 7. I want to commence reading at verse 24. And it reads, "And from thence he arose and went into the borders of Tyre and Sidon, and entered into an house, and would have no man know it, but he could not be hid. For a certain woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit heard of him and came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by nation. And she besought him that he would cast forth the devil out of her daughter. But Jesus said unto her, Let the children first be filled. For it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it unto the dogs. And she answered and said unto him, Yes, Lord, yet the dogs under the table eat of the children's crumbs. And he said unto her, For this saying, Go thy way, the devil is gone out of thy daughter. And when she was come to her house, she found the devil gone out, and her daughter laid upon the bed." May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. As we look at this word and we realize that this parent goes to the Lord Jesus Christ for deliverance for her daughter, it is clear that Jesus provides help for hurting parents. And she's one such parent who has recognized and realized that the power of the Lord Jesus Christ is present to heal. And she, after hearing the many testimonies of the healings and deliverances of those who had been touched by Jesus, taught by Jesus, and who had been ministered to by Jesus, realized that she too would make an appeal to the one who was able to do what she desired him to do. One of the things that you recognize is as Jesus moves from Israel into Gentile country is the fact that he shows he's a savior for all. Starts off with Israel because the promise is to them first, and then it is to spread abroad. And so he, in his pedestrian mentality, takes the gospel to all that he is able to reach, and he shows this Greek-speaking woman, this Syrophoenician by nationality, that he too is willing to bless her in her turn. Now, I want you to see this because there are many interesting things that I think we need to recognize and see about this word, because before us, we'll discover that the same reality that may be evident in this woman's situation could very well be present in many of our situations as parents, even in this present day. There are some things I think we can learn from this woman who was not a part of the Hebrew nation, but yet because of God's desire, because of God's mercy, and because of God's grace, has an opportunity to activate her faith and pull down her blessings, even in the face of what appears to be an insult that comes from the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this word is no new word to us. We've heard it many times, but there are different things God reveals when the message comes around again. I want you to hear it. I want you to open your inner ear so that you can apply these principles to your own problems and be able, with promise, to know what God will do for those who know who they are and whose they are willing to activate their faith in the one who is able to do all things but fail. Look again, I want you to go back to the word. The Bible says in verse 24, "And from thence he arose and went into the borders of Tyre and Sidon, and entered into an house, and would have no man know it, but he could not be healed." Now again, this is where Jesus begins to take his ministry beyond the borders of Israel and beyond the people who originally assigned the blessings of the Lord, into the Gentile country. Now, this was no mistake. It was no accident. However, there were things that Jesus had planned and had scheduled that seemingly brought themselves to a quicker presentation. So that's why the Bible says he goes into this house and would that no man know it. He was getting himself together and ready. But let me say something about need and about faith. Even though Jesus was not ready to see them, this woman is clear that she was ready to see him. Now, even though there are things that the Lord has shown in place, he has a structure and he has an operation that he orderly walks through, goes through, moves through, flows through. But every now and then, when somebody of faith meets the eye of Jesus, hears the word of Jesus, catches the heart of Jesus, they are able to get a miracle even when it isn't their turn. I want to tell somebody here, you've been waiting on your blessing, waiting on your miracle, waiting on your breakthrough, waiting on your healing, waiting on your deliverance, waiting on your ship to come in, whatever it is. Whenever you get to the point where you're not capable of waiting any longer, activate your faith to a point where it pleases God and you may discover you don't have to wait any longer. Listen at this, because I want you to see something. First thing I want you to note in the verses I've read from verse 25 to 30 is three things. First, we want to deal with the fact that this woman, she was a disturbed parent. She was a disturbed parent. And as you keep looking through, and I'll bring you back there, you're going to find out that she was a determined parent. And then lastly, you're going to discover that she was a delighted parent. Now, let's go back up to the fact that she was a disturbed parent. The Bible says, verse 25, for a certain woman. This is a true story, and I've shared with you before. When you see the word certain in this context, it means it was a real person, a real situation. The names were hidden because they were not trying to spotlight the person, but rather highlight the principle, which means you could put your name there.
Come on, man. Come on.
Listen, for a certain woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit heard of him and came and fell at his feet. Let's consider this disturbed parent, this disturbed woman's, first of all, her hurt. Her hurt. How many parents will agree with me when I say no matter what your child is going through, is dealing with, whatever hurts them hurts you more? Any parents in the house? Because we are not always able to measure the amount of pain they feel, we somewhat in a compassionate way touch and try to feel what they feel. And most times, because of who we are, our pain goes even further, because we not only hurt for them, but we hurt also because if we could take the pain that many of them go through, we would do it, but we are unable to do so. So I want you to look at this woman's hurt. Her daughter is at home. She leaves her daughter at home, and the reason I know she's hurt, because the text says she comes there, and verse 25, she heard of him and came and fell at his feet. This word denotes the fact that she was so full of pain and had become so weak that at his feet she fell down in a position of pain and of mercy, and she cries out to the Lord because her whole desire is to have her daughter healed, have her daughter delivered. She knows what this child has gone through. She knows the agony and pain that this demonic spirit has put her child through. If a child can't sleep, she can't sleep. If a child goes through mental and emotional disturbances, she on another level goes through the very same thing. If a child doesn't eat, it takes her appetite. I mean, on and on and on. So the child suffers, but this mother hurts also. But I not only want you to see her hurt, but I want you to see this mother's hope. Because I can tell you, my brothers and sisters, if you're hurt,
come on,
and if you've got any faith in you, you'll know that this hurt won't last always. if you've got hope. Listen at this. Her hurt is what brought her to Jesus. But it wasn't there that she stopped. She went to Jesus to express to him what her desire was. And it came from her hope. She had no doubt sought other measures before Jesus, but none of them worked. She had no doubt perhaps tried the local church and the presbytery there, but none of that worked. But she had heard some other people who had done that and it didn't work. But she found a man that it had worked for many different people with many different issues and many different circumstances. And all of them had the same report. He healed me. He delivered me. He worked a miracle on me. Nobody left disappointed. They came to him and got from him just what they wanted. And I'm so glad, no matter what your issue is versus the person on the side of you, if you both go in faith, you both leave there fixed. Listen at this. So she goes to him not only in hurt, but in hope. Look at the text, because I want you to see verse 26. It says, the woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by nation, and she besought him that he would cast forth the devil out of her daughter. She comes to him, and in her hurt, he sees her hope. She doesn't come to him just to ask him. She comes to him believing. Not only that he could, but that he would. She comes with no less than perfection to her request, to her pursuit, to her desire. In other words, she made up her mind she wasn't leaving Jesus till she got what she went for. And I want you to see this, because her hope gets Jesus's attention, because there are some things that interplay in the dialogue that shares with us that Jesus is moved by the fact that this woman came to him and she knew that he had what she wanted and needed and was not going to leave that till she got it. Let's go on, because I want you to see something else. She was disturbed, but she was also determined. I want to say to you, my brothers and sisters, whatever you're going through, do not ever allow your disturbances to discount your determination. Maybe I'll say that again. You didn't get that. I said, don't ever let your disturbances discount your determination. In other words, with the tears flowing down your cheek, make up your mind, I'm going to tell Jesus all about it. And don't let situations, circumstances, people, and problems get you to the point where you discount the fact that if you don't go to Jesus and tell him and stay there till he answers, that you're responsible for your own breakthrough, for your own blessings, and for your own benefits. Can't nobody tell Jesus for you what you can tell Jesus for you. And can't nobody, I want to throw this out parenthetically as well, do you like Jesus can do you? So you ought to be determined when you make up your mind and your mind is fixed and your heart is fixed and you are already determined that you're going to get what you want from the Lord. I've got a helpful holy hint for you. Don't leave there till you get it. See, if some of us knew how to pray till we got a breakthrough. If some of us knew how to pray till we got a confirmation, if some of us knew how to pray till the burden was lifted, if some of us knew how to pray till we heard heaven hearing, if some of us knew how to pray till the Lord said, well done, we could get up off our knees and start our praise party because God heard us in our prayer party. Listen at this, because I want you to see something. Now, he was a determined woman. Not only was she a disturbed woman, but she was a determined woman, a determined parent, a determined mother. And I want to say a word for some of you mothers out here and fathers, but in this case, this is a woman. So I want to say to you, there is power in a mother's prayer. I think I need to say that again. There is power in a mother's prayer. You don't know how you get God's attention. When you cry out to God from a mother's heart about your child and your situation, I want you to know when you're sincere and when you're determined, God will not only hear, but he will answer your prayer. Oh, whole lot of us are here right now, not because we did what we wanted to do, chose this path to go on, but we had some praying mothers who told the Lord. And sometimes, listen, mothers, you may have a situation where you've done all you could do. The child has grown up now and has decided to do things on his or her own way and with their own influences from their own structures and companies. But I got news for you. Don't give up on praying. Because the Bible says you train a child in the way he should grow. When he grows older, he will not depart. It didn't say he wouldn't veer off. But just like he detoured, he's going to confirm his right route and go back down the right way. Sometimes they got to see that what you say is real. Sometimes they got to get a little taste of this world and realize that this world isn't their friend and this world isn't their home. And when the world hates them and hurts them, they'll realize you knew what you were talking about. And sometimes you just got to let them go to find out that you know what you're talking about. And all you got to do when you let them go is leave your arms open. Because Luke 15 says, when they come to themselves, Lord, I wish I had a helper in the house. They're going to find themselves back at home or in your presence or saying, Mama, Daddy, you were right. And so this determined mother, this determined parents, did not stop at difficulty. You got to know the devil don't want you to succeed. Devil doesn't want you to press your way. Doesn't want you to stay on the battlefield till you've won. But rather want you to wave the flag of surrender, throw in the white towel, throw your hands up and say, I quit. But oh, be determined. Just like this woman. Let me share something with you. She had, verse 27 reveals this, she had a strange refusal. Listen at this now. But Jesus said unto her, let the children first be filled, for it is not meet or fix or fit or right. Listen at this, to take the children's bread and to cast it unto the dogs. Listen at this, in the research on this particular phrase, it was several things connected with this, but first of all, it was a term of disrespect, of disdain. It was a term that was used to speak down, a very condescending term that was usually used when folk refer to another nationality or another person as a dog. But what also was revealed in the research was the fact that this word also had a lighter side to the understanding. It was the same way we use the word dog in our culture. You can use that same word and say, you a dog. You can also turn around and say, that's my dog. And I want you to understand this, because when Jesus used it, he used it of the lighter side. It was not to be disrespectful. He was making up the point, because the reference is that bread was never thrown to wild dogs, because that would only increase their presence. But the dogs that was referred to as pets, as what they call puppies and house dogs, were affectionately referred to. It is suggested that Jesus was using this term or this word in this context, that he was saying, yes, because notice how he says, and I want you to go back. The Bible says, but Jesus said unto her, let the children first be filled. Now, if Jesus was calling her the dog with the negative connotation, he would not have added first. He would not have said to give the woman hope that you can have some of the bread or the crumbs, as this woman so clearly points out. But he would have made it clear, you can't have none of it. But the fact that he puts it in this form, which says, again, let the children first be filled, suggests after the children are filled, which represented the children of Israel, after they got their blessings, after they got the things that the Lord God promised to them through Jesus Christ, then it would be opened up to the whole world, to the entire world, to those who came after the chosen people of God, which were the Israelites. And so in this context, he was making clear, as he referenced this natural reality, to children having their meal first, and whatever was left, you're going to find out, he meant would be for those who were the servants, who were the others, who were those who received handouts. So understand, Jesus was saying, I'm not saying you can't have any. I'm just saying, let me take care of first things first. And look at this. One of the things I love about the Lord, if you belong to the Lord has got your back. The Lord will take care of you, and he's not going to put others before you. He's going to make sure that he takes care of your needs, takes care of your situation, and he's got enough provisions that if anybody else needs some of his extra, they can get some of the extra, but you can know confidently that he's got yours on reserve. Look again, because I want you to see this. It was a strange refusal, but the woman was determined. And because the woman was determined, that strange refusal turned into a satisfying response. Look again, let's go back to the text. I want you to find 28. And she answered and said unto him, yes. Now it would have been fine if she'd said master, if it had been Jesus, if it had been rabbi, but she said Lord. Now Jesus was expanding his ministry and his territory. Now she saw Jesus as more than just a healer or a deliverer or a teacher, but she calls him Lord. And he is Lord over all. And so something down in this woman's spirit recognizes she's got the right one in Jesus. And so she says, yes, Lord, you're right. Not with an attitude. Not with a discouraged and despondent spirit. Not after one refusal, giving up and turning around and said, well, I tried. But she stayed right there in the face of what seemed to be a refusal and would not let it go as such. She's like, that ain't the answer I came for. All right. Yes, Lord, I hear you speaking. I respect what you're saying, but may I respectfully submit to you that the dogs do eat the crumbs that fall from the table. I asking you to set me a seat up at the table. I ain't trying to get in and follow and be a part of your group here. I just need you to do what only you can do, and I'm not leaving here till you do it. Can I get some crumbs, Lord? See, because what you don't understand, in the Eastern culture, they didn't use forks and knives in that day and time. They used bread. And when they would take the bread and meat or some of the different things, sauces and dips, they would take the bread and they would dip it in and they would eat. Well, when they grabbed a piece of meat and their hands were greasy, they'd break off a piece of bread and they'd wipe the grease on the bread. And sometimes the children, when they would do that, they would do it and then throw a little bit under the table. Y'all ain't getting this. And the dog would wait right there waiting for him to just drop me a little bit every now and then. You ain't got to put the whole plate down here. Dog just waiting for a little crumb to fall. And this is what the woman gives Jesus as a picture of her faith. Listen, Lord, you ain't got to take me in first place position. I'm not trying to say to you that I'm trying to get out of my place. But what I am saying in my place is something that falls from this table. And since what you've got and I need comes from this table, I ain't going nowhere. Till you drop some crumbs. Now listen at this, because I need you to see this. See, that's the kind of determination. See, a whole lot of us get so big and so, you know, caught up. Now here you go, number one, you're the one in need. How you gonna be in need and bigoted? How you you're going to be the one going there asking for stuff with an attitude?
Yes.
How you going to come there acting like you were a guest invited when you showed up and interrupted? Sometime when you can't wait your turn, you got to realize you will not be received the same way as if it were your turn. So you need to get your attitude adjusted before you ever ask your question and go there and say, I don't care how they respond. I came here for what I want, and I'm not leaving till I get it.